News of the Church and Comment. President Hinckley visits Caribbean, Cape Verde Saints. On his way to and from the dedication of the Accra Ghana Temple, President Gordon B. Hinckley met with saints in the Caribbean and the Cape Verde Islands. He was accompanied by his wife Marjorie and Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. On Thursday, January 8, 2004, preceding the dedication of the Accra Temple, President Hinckley dedicated the new Basseterre Meeting House on the island of St. Kitts in the Caribbean and spoke to members of the St. Kitts Nevis branch about living gospel principles and gaining an assurance of their validity through obedience. Elder Nelson spoke of the home and family as a sanctuary, counseling the saints to apply gospel principles in their homes. Local government dignitaries attended the event, including St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Ministers Dr. Denzel L. Douglas, who commended the church's growth in the area. On his return from West Africa, President Hinckley met with 40 members of the Sal branch during a refueling stop on Sal Island in Cape Verde off Africa's western coast. Members and friends gathered in a room at the Fueling Service Center to hear his counsel. The prophet assured the members of the Lord's love for them, instructing them to be prayerful, study the Book of Mormon, pay their tithing, and share the gospel with their friends. Elder Nelson advised members to follow the prophet. Following his visit in Cape Verde, President Hinckley met with and counseled members on the Caribbean islands of St. Thomas, St. John, St. Croix, Tortola, and Puerto Rico to keep the commandments and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church News contributed to this report. Youth Need Inoculation Against the World, by Melissa Merrill, Church Magazines. President Boyd K. Packer, acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, addressed the need for teachers in the church education system to help inoculate young people against the world during a CES devotional held on February 6, 2004. "These are days of great spiritual danger for our youth," President Packer said. He said that he knows of no time when worse things were so widely accepted in the world, not even in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. While evil was localized then, he pointed out, it has now spread across the world. Although facing evil of epidemic proportions, students can be inoculated through a knowledge and testimony of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, President Packer taught. He also said that while teachers play an important role in fortifying youth, they are not the first line of defense against the effects of the world. "The Lord places that responsibility on parents first. All the saving ordinances center on the family. The shield of faith is handmade in the cottage and polished in the classroom." After relating how he decided on a career in education and sharing some of his experiences as a teacher, President Packer said it may sometimes seem that we are losing the war in maintaining high moral, social, political, and intellectual standards. But, he continued, "Satan cannot win." President Packer described the town-wide quarantines of former days against physical illness and outlined the immunity-building power of studying the standard works to guard against spiritual illness. After naming some of the principal doctrines taught in each course of study, President Packer explained that we have not been left without knowledge of what to do. He quoted Christ's supernal prayer for the apostles, in which the Savior asked not for them to be taken out of the world, but for them to be sanctified through the truth. See John chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. He advised teachers against seeking intellectualism without the gospel core, and against focusing merely on activities in their teaching. "The task may seem daunting, but teachers should not fear," President Packer said. "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. Humanitarian Services Lifting Lives Worldwide, by Adam C. Olson, Church Magazines. Saints in Peru can see. Villagers in Ethiopia can drink water without fear of disease. Children restricted by mobility problems in Kosovo have been set free by their first wheelchair. And newborns around the world will get a better chance at taking their first breath. people all over the world are being blessed through church humanitarian services. The church's emergency relief efforts in response to crises around the globe are often publicized, but even when nature is calm and the earth is still, the effects of the church's humanitarian aid can be felt worldwide. Current humanitarian efforts are focused on four major initiatives: providing vision care, providing neonatal resuscitation training for doctors, providing clean water, and providing wheelchairs. All of the initiatives are aimed at helping people help themselves. "I love my job," said Gary Winters, a manager for major initiative projects. "These projects help people with self-reliance. It's helping them live the doctrine being preached by the brethren. Let him see who has eyes to see." The gospel has always helped to open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Through its vision care projects, humanitarian services is helping thousands of saints and members of other faiths overcome physical vision challenges. With projects already in more than a dozen countries around the world, the church has partnered with foundations and doctors to provide free cataract surgeries and eyeglasses while training local ophthalmologists. In Nigeria, for example, humanitarian services set up two-day clinics in six cities during the latter part of 2003 and 2004. In each location, up to 100 cataract surgeries were performed while local doctors watched, and 1,000 pairs of eyeglasses were distributed to those who needed them. Similar clinics have been held in Peru, Uganda, and Kenya. Requests from area presidencies for such clinics are continually being evaluated by humanitarian services. The Water of Life. Human dependency on water became the basis for a number of the Savior's teachings. Life cannot exist without water. Unclean water leads to millions of deaths every year due to a variety of diseases. According to the World Health Organization, about 2 million people die every year from diarrheal diseases alone, about 88% of which are caused by unsafe water supplies, and most of the victims are children under 5. Providing clean water for household use is currently one of the church's major focuses. Humanitarian Services is rehabilitating wells and piping spring water to villages and communities worldwide. Projects in Ethiopia, Ghana, Ecuador, Peru, Uganda, Kenya, and Armenia have provided countless families with clean water. But the benefits go beyond avoiding disease. In many locations, women and children were walking several miles each day to fetch water, carrying as many as 8 gallons or 30 liters of water, which weigh about 66 pounds or 30 kilograms. "It's a huge burden," says Brother Winters, "and even after all that effort, the water wasn't always clean. Bringing the water closer to the people frees up the mother to help the family more and frees the children up to be in school more frequently." In January, the church turned over 70 borehole water pumps it had rehabilitated, which are now serving the residents of more than 25 communities in Ghana. Piping water takes more time. The church hires engineers to plan the project. Members of the community do the labor, and humanitarian missionaries oversee it all. More clean water projects are being planned. Brother Winters expects the effort will expand into Southeast Asia this year. Wings to those who can't walk. Being unable to walk can negatively affect an entire family. Without a wheelchair, fathers may not be able to work, mothers may struggle to care for their children, and children may not be able to attend school without someone with them constantly to carry them where they need to go. Partnering with the Wheelchair Foundation, the church has already provided more than 30,000 wheelchairs to people in need. Those wheelchairs have been spread all over the world, from Mexico and Central America to Africa, to the South Pacific, Asia, Eastern Europe, and even war-torn Iraq. Often the first thing we hear from children who are finally receiving a wheelchair is, "Now I can go to school," said Brother Winters, who oversees the Wheelchair Initiative for Humanitarian Services. In January, the church and the Wheelchair Foundation donated 500 wheelchairs to the people of Kosovo in a ceremony hosted by Kosovo Prime Minister Bajram Rekshepi. The church hopes to be able to distribute wheelchairs in Brazil, Russia, and Southeast Asia this year, as well as continuing to support projects in Mexico, Central America, and Africa. A second chance at a first breath. The infant mortality rate in many nations is discouragingly high. A number of infant deaths occur simply because those present at the birth don't know how to help a newborn to breathe. Working with the ministers of health in various countries, the church is sending neonatologists and neonatal nurses to train physicians and nurses in neonatal resuscitation. At each session, Humanitarian Services trains up to 100 newborn care providers with the expectation that each of them will later train an additional 10 people using equipment donated by the church. According to Wade Sperry, a manager of major initiative projects, Humanitarian Services has made a major push in the last year to provide neonatal resuscitation training to doctors around the world. In 2003, training was conducted in 12 countries: Bolivia, Ecuador, Ghana, Guatemala, Honduras, Kenya, Madagascar, Moldova, Peru, Samoa, Tonga, and Uganda. Training will be completed in Fiji, Uganda, Cape Verde, and various parts of Brazil by early April. Other locations are being evaluated for future training sessions. Anchorage and Sao Paulo temples rededicated. Idaho site announced. President Gordon B. Hinckley rededicated temples in Anchorage, Alaska, and Sao Paulo, Brazil, in February, and a location has been announced for the new temple in Rexburg, Idaho. As of March, the church is operating 117 temples worldwide and has 11 more announced or under construction. The next scheduled temple dedication is in Copenhagen, Denmark, in May. Anchorage, Alaska Temple. President Hinckley rededicated the Anchorage, Alaska Temple during a single session on Sunday, February 8, 2004, after an expansion nearly doubled its size from 6,800 to over 11,900 square feet. "Touch those of this temple district with thy Holy Spirit, and stir within them a desire to use this beautiful facility in the accomplishment of thy divine will," President Hinckley said during the dedicatory prayer. "May they find great joy in coming here. May it be a haven of peace from the stress and cares of the world, a refuge from the hurried pace of their lives. As they here serve, may they be lifted in spirit, and may there come into their vision something of the divine light that is of thy nature." The public toured the temple during an open house held the 27th through the 31st of January, 2004. Originally dedicated in 1999, the temple was one of the first to be built under the small temple concept announced by President Hinckley in 1997. The temple serves more than 27,000 members in 7 Alaska stakes and 1 district in Northwest Canada. Remodeling on the temple began in April 2003. Additions include a second ordinance room, a laundry facility, men and women's dressing rooms, a waiting room, and office space. Sao Paulo, Brazil Temple. Just over 25 years after its original dedication, the Sao Paulo, Brazil Temple, the first temple in South America, was rededicated on February 22, 2004, after extensive renovation. Outwardly, the addition of a statue of the Angel Moroni was the only change to the 53,246-square-foot temple during the 16-month closure. Inside, a non-patron waiting room, a marriage waiting room, a temple worker dressing room, and a ceiling room were added. The chapel was enlarged, as were the other ceiling rooms. The cafeteria and youth waiting area were remodeled, and a special art glass representation of the Savior appearing in the Americas was placed in the lobby. 90% of all materials used in the project were Brazilian, from fabrics to the mahogany and granite. Much of the original furniture crafted by Walter Spatt, the first stake president in South America, was refurbished. local Latter-day Saints performed during a special celebration held February 21st at the 50,000-seat Pacaembu Stadium. Coverage of the cultural celebration will be included in a future issue of The Ensign. President Hinckley presided at the single dedicatory session, which was broadcast to all 185 stakes throughout Brazil. A transcript of the dedicatory prayer was unavailable at press time. Brazil also has temples in Porto Alegre and Recife, both dedicated in 2000, and in Campinas, dedicated in 2002. A temple has also been announced for Curitiba, Brazil. Rexburg, Idaho Temple. Latter-day Saints in Rexburg, Idaho, are preparing themselves for a new temple that will stand prominently on Rexburg Hill, south of the BYU-Idaho campus. The new temple, announced in December 2003, will be located on the southwest corner of 7th South and 2nd East. A timetable for temple construction had not been decided before press time. The church currently operates two temples in Idaho, the Idaho Falls Idaho Temple, dedicated in 1945, and the Boise Idaho Temple, dedicated in 1984. There are more than 360,000 members of the church in Idaho. With more than 17,000 residents, Rexburg has five stakes. There are seven more at BYU-Idaho, where 11,000 students were enrolled last fall. President of Colombia Receives Priesthood Blessing, by Nuri Lara N. The President of the Republic of Colombia, Alvaro Uribe Vélez, welcomed Elder Claudio R. M. Costa of the 70, President of the South America North Area, along with Elder Roberto Garcia, Area Authority 70, and Second Counselor in the Area Presidency, and five other leaders and members of the Church, to the Presidential Palace on November 7, 2003. President Uribe thanked the members for the humanitarian work the Church is doing in Colombia, in coordination with the First Lady, Lina Maria Moreno de Uribe. See Church Colombian First Lady Team Up to Aid Needy. News of the Church, Ensign, February 2004, pages 75 and 76. I am very grateful for all you do and for the kind of citizens you make. On behalf of the government, please accept my support, endorsement, and gratitude. Elder Costa testified of Jesus Christ and explained the priesthood authority. As one holding that power, Elder Costa offered to give the president a priesthood blessing, which President Uribe accepted. During the blessing, promises were extended to the president, his family, and his country. A president of the republic has never before received a priesthood blessing. Elder Costa also presented the president with a copy of several generations of President Uribe's and the First Lady's family histories, along with a CD containing Family Search personal ancestral file software and a statuette of a family. In the news, cyclone hits Pacific Islands. Missionaries, members, safe. Tropical cyclone Heta swept over the Pacific island of Niue, northeast of Tonga, on January 5, 2004, washing away 70 homes, destroying a hospital, and leaving nearly 200 people homeless. All six missionaries and 203 members on Niue were reported safe. The homes of seven member families were completely destroyed, and a chapel in the small village of Alofi sustained damages, including broken windows and flooding. Members were organized to clear water and debris from the Alofi branch meeting house, where 20 people sought shelter. Missionaries cleared roads of debris, providing access for emergency vehicles. A small welfare team from the Church's Pacific Islands Area Office in New Zealand was sent to Niue to determine the need for church assistance. Cyclone Heta also hit the northern islands of Tonga, destroying one member's home on Niuatoputapu and tearing roofs off several others. The Vaipoa branch meeting house in Niuatoputapu served as a temporary shelter for displaced families. The church's Tonga Service Center sent emergency supplies to severely damaged areas. No members or missionaries in those areas were injured. The Luatuanu'u Ward Meeting House on the Samoan island of Upolu lost several classrooms, a bishop's office, and numerous windows when it was struck by water and high winds. A meeting house in Pago Pago, American Samoa, incurred minor damages when a coconut tree fell on its roof. Church News contributed to this report. Museum to sponsor Children's Art Contest. The Museum of Church History and Art invites Latter-day Saint children ages 4 to 12 to submit original works of art for possible display in an exhibit in honor of the 200th anniversary of the birth of the prophet Joseph Smith. The exhibit, Follow the Prophet, will be on display from December 10, 2004 to October 16, 2005. Images can reflect the life, teachings, or experiences of any prophet from Adam to President Gordon B. Hinckley. Works should be two-dimensional, no larger than 11 by 14 inches or 28 by 36 centimeters, and may be done in any medium. The child's name, age, address, and ward or branch should be included on the back. All entries become the property of the museum and will not be returned. Judges who are sensitive to children's art will make the selection of works to be exhibited. The museum's deadline for receiving artwork is October 4, 2004. Mail entries to Marjorie Condor, Curator, Museum of Church History and Art, 45 North West Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-3470. Women's Conference to be broadcast worldwide. Brigham Young University's Women's Conference 2004 will be held the 29th and 30th of April. 8 hours of selected talks will be broadcast on those days from 6 to 10 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time over the church satellite system to meeting houses throughout the United States, Canada, the Caribbean, and Latin America. The broadcast will also be available on KBYU TV Channel 11, KBYU TV, BYU Radio, and on the Internet at www.byubroadcasting.org. Church units in Europe, Asia, the British Isles, and South Africa can capture the broadcast later in May. For more information, call 1-801-378-7692 or access the website at womensconference.byu.edu. Policies and announcements. The First Presidency has sent the following letter, dated January 27, 2004, to priesthood leaders. Member communication with church headquarters. Members of the church continue to place telephone calls and write letters to church headquarters about doctrinal issues and personal matters. With an ever-increasing membership, the ability of general authorities to respond personally to these inquiries presents an almost insurmountable task and makes it difficult for the brethren to fulfill the duties for which they alone are responsible. The Lord, in His wisdom, has so organized His church that there is accessible to every member a bishop or branch president and a stake, district, or mission president, who serve as spiritual advisors and temporal counselors. We have the utmost confidence in the wisdom and judgment of these priesthood leaders. By reason of their callings, local leaders are entitled to the spirit of discernment and inspiration to enable them to counsel members within their jurisdiction. Accordingly, in most cases, correspondence from members will be referred back to their local leaders for handling. Priesthood leaders who have need for further clarification about doctrinal issues may write in behalf of their members to the First Presidency. It is our desire that all members feel they have the support and guidance they need. However, all things should be done in wisdom and order. We believe that both members and local leaders will be blessed as they pray and counsel together in an effort to resolve matters of concern to them. 2004 Church Pageant Schedule. Pageant, Jesus the Christ, located in Mesa, Arizona. Dates, April 1st through 3rd in Spanish, April 6th through 10th in English. Mormon Miracle Pageant in Manti, Utah. The 17th through the 19th and the 22nd through the 26th of June. America's Witness for Christ Pageant in Palmyra, New York. The 9th, 10th, and 13th through 17th of July. And It Came to Pass Pageant in Oakland, California. 20th through the 24th and 27th through the 31st of July. Castle Valley Pageant in Castledale, Utah. The 22nd through the 24th and the 27th through the 31st of July. City of Joseph Pageant in Nauvoo, Illinois. 30th and 31st of July and the 3rd through the 7th of August. Martin Harris, The Man Who Knew Pageant in Clarkston, Utah. 13th and 14th, 17th through 21st, and 24th through 27th of August. All pageants are free of charge, but the Clarkston and Oakland pageants require tickets. This is the final year of the Nauvoo pageant. For more information on any of these pageants, call 1-801-240-7800 or visit www.lds.org and click on Other Resources, then Places to Visit. New Guidebook helps explain doctrine behind church standards. The church has issued a new doctrinal guidebook aimed at youth, young single adults, and new members. True to the Faith, a Gospel Reference, is a collection of brief, simple statements on gospel doctrines and principles. Almost 200 pages in length, the book is intended to supplement the scriptures and the counsel of current church leaders. Young men and young women may use it as a resource to assist them in achieving their Duty to God and Personal Progress awards. The book is designed to accompany the For the Strength of Youth pamphlet and explains the doctrine behind the standards it contains. Priesthood quorums and Relief Society groups may also offer the book to new members to better acquaint them with the doctrines of the restored gospel. True to the Faith is available at church distribution centers for $1.50. Call for articles. If you have had experience with the following situation, we invite you to share your suggestions. Several of my family members are not LDS, and they feel hurt because they cannot attend my temple wedding. What can I do to help them understand and to ease hurt feelings? Send responses by May 17, 2004 to Ensign Editorial, 24th floor, 50 East North Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah 84150-3220, USA, or to cur-editorial-ensign@ldschurch.org. Clearly mark your submission, Questions and Answers, and on the top of your submission, write your name, address, telephone number, email address, ward and stake, or branch and district. While we cannot acknowledge receipt of individual responses, authors whose submissions are selected for publication will be notified. If you would like your manuscript returned, enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope and allow up to a year. Comment. He was teaching me directly. I want to thank the Ensign and Elder Henry B. Eyring for his article in the February 2004 issue. He must be a wonderful teacher, because I learned so much from The Book of Mormon Will Change Your Life. I felt that he was teaching me directly. I am a recent convert to the church, and what he said meant a lot to me. Sandra Miller, Miami Shores Ward, Hialeah Gardens, Florida, stake. Joy in the Journey. Since my baptism in 1969, I have read every issue of the church's magazines, but no article has impressed or uplifted me as much as Joy in the Journey. Ensign, January 2004. The fulfillment of the dream of temple marriage, the acknowledgment that we don't have the wisdom to succeed in life without the Lord's help, the understanding that obedience is happiness, the knowledge that ordinary men and boys can bring such blessings into the lives of others in the Savior's name through the priesthood, and the blessing and honor it is to be a Latter-day Saint, are just a few of the article's gems of wisdom and inspiration that truly touched my heart and strengthened my soul. Larry D. Kump, Auntie Antum Ward, Frederick, Maryland, Stake. End of the section, News of the Church and Comment.